Good evening and welcome, folks, to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and I'm coming to you live tonight from the Radio Ranch in a snowy, cold, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming, and it is a bit frigid here, down in the single digits tonight. They call it winter time out here, and it's winter time all over. Spoke to some people all across the country today, and seems to be a bit better weather back in the east and in the Midwest a little bit. Maybe even out in California where the floodwaters are receding. But hey, it's wintertime here. That'll get rid of the mosquitoes, the larvae, and the bark beetle. So if that's what the good Lord is sending, we will sure take it. Well, we'll have the phone lines open up a little bit tonight. I want to thank you for joining in. Have some scripture I want to share with you tonight and a few things about, well, just how big our God is, the things that our God can take care of for us. He's big enough to do it. Are we willing to participate and to believe so we can do that? So let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer first, and then we'll have the phone lines opened up, and we'll talk about, I do want to talk a little bit about that in California, the flooding they're having out there. Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, for this opportunity you give us to come together to read and to hear your word, to look into your word, Lord, for answers for the problems that we face today, to look into your word for solutions, for answers, for a better way. And we thank you that you give that, Lord. You give that better way, and you made a way. Lord, forgive us of our sins, both known and unknown. Help us as we come together, Lord, as we read from your word. Lord, help us to be ever thankful to you for the grace and mercy that you've shown and for the loving kindness that you continue to show to generation upon generation of those who love you, upon those who return to you. And Lord, let that be our cry tonight, our plea tonight, is that, Lord, your people would return to you. That we would look to you, O Lord, for our health. That we would look to you for our safety. That we would look to you for our salvation. And that we would look to you as our example of how to be, our example of what to do and, of course, what not to do. And we thank you for that, Lord, that you give that to us. We thank you most of all that you went to the cross of Calvary and that you bore our sins and our sicknesses and that you took what we deserved. And we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to walk in your ways. Help us to show, Lord, to show that this dark world your love and your grace and your comfort. Help us to do that, Lord. Help me to do that. Again, Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone to share your word with your people. And I give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hopefully, folks, you're reading your Bible. We have the Bible reading plan out, and we told you all last year we were going to be bugging you about it, reminding you, if you will, to read your Bible. It is a most important way to continue in with God, to continue on His straight and narrow, you might say. And we have to be, if now this is only for those that claim Christ. This is only for those that desire to be Christians. But it is a great thing to be the greatest, to follow the Master. We're just trying to help you a little bit along that path. And one of the things that we are to do is to read His Word. We have to read His Word. We have to maintain in His Word. That is one of the main ways that He speaks to His people. We're in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 7 and 8 is the Bible reading plan for today. And I've got some other scriptures and notes in my notes that I'd like to share with you. I want to share one thing from you in 1 Corinthians 8. And that's going to be it from me. Well, maybe two things. 1 Corinthians 7 and 8, just one thing. But in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians, the very first verse, it says, "Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies." And we all need to look at that verse and think, how does this apply to me? Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Verse 2 says, "If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him." So if nothing else, take from that let us not become arrogant. The grace of God has been poured out on us in showing us biblical truths about who we are. We call that the Anglo-Israel message. The grace and mercy of God has been poured out upon us and given us the understanding of true biblical salvation. Belief, yes. Repentance, acknowledgement of sin. Repentance of that sin and being washed from that sin in the watery grave of baptism, according to Acts 2:38, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And maybe God has given us some knowledge in the Word. Maybe we have some understanding. Well, let us not boast. If we boast, as the Word tells us, let us boast in the Lord, and let us not let knowledge make us arrogant, but let us edify with love. Let us edify. Let us encourage with love. And I am encouraged every time I read this word, and every time I hear it, and every time I get an opportunity to speak with someone about it. Because our God, He loves us so much. He does. And I want to ask if you believe, do you believe? In Isaiah 55, 8, 9, God reminds us that His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we have to remember that. His ways are not our ways. That means our ways, our carnal ways, our fleshly ways are not His. But His ways are higher. His ways are better. His thoughts are better. I saw this quote today, and I thought I'd share it, kind of open up with it tonight. And it was, I just saw it in another Bible study, but it kind of ties in with what our pastor had taught at times. When things don't go our way, we ask, why, God, why? And remember our pastor, he taught us not to ask why, but to ask why not. Why not? Well, this quote says, when things don't go our way and we ask why, God, why, maybe we should be asking what, God, what? What is it you're trying to show us? What is it? Your ways are higher than ours. Your thoughts are greater than ours. What is it? So I ask you folks, remnant, Christians, do you believe? Do you believe that God can take care of the problems that we face today? The problems that we face day to day, in and out. Do you believe that the God of the universe, the creator of all, the great I am, can get you through your trials and tribulations, your cares and your worries? The problems that pop up? In Matthew 9, verses 27 through 29, we read about a healing. And I want to read that. Matthew 9, 20, starting in 27. "As Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.' And after he, Jesus, had come into the house, the blind men came up to Jesus, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' And they said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' He then touched their eyes, saying, 'Be it done according to your faith.' according to your faith, it says, be it done. And guess what? It was done. And the men, the blind men that could not see, they were healed. They were healed. And so I believe this. Do you believe it? Jesus asked, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they believed, and they were healed because of it. They got the blessing because they believed. Now, they had also had to do works. They'd had to follow him and call out and cry. But he said, be it done according to your faith. And so, I'm not really planning on talking about faith, but I guess that surely ties in with our scriptures when we read them. It ties in with, it is such an important part of our Christian walk. We go to Romans 8:28, and I think most of us know this by now. We know, and we should know. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know it says that. We know that God does that. So I ask, do you believe that? Ask yourself, this is just between you and God. I'm just trying to walk with you a little bit here and get you to think about this. Do you believe that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God? Because I would bet if I asked you, do you love God? You'd say, yes. Oh, I love God. I love Jesus. And that's good. We should. Do we believe, do we know that he works all things for good in our life, in your life? It really is only a faithful person that does believe, who truly believes that God controls your circumstances. We take our circumstances for granted. We may say, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody, we may say, yes, God's in control. God is directing everything around me. He's directing my steps. He's directing where I go and what I do. He's directing the people that I come into contact with. But do we really believe it? Do we really believe, and do we live our lives? Do you live your life as if God is truly controlling the circumstances, what you do, where you go? And do the people that you come into contact with, do they see that we trust in him? Do they see that? Our circumstances. We may say our circumstances, well, the way things are right now, everything's pretty good. We should be faithful to God to believe that Romans 8:28, that no matter what circumstances we're in, no matter what happens, he is working it all for good. Now, it's easy to be faithful, and it's easy to say that God works it all for good when the vehicles are running, when everything's fine, when we have our good health, when we're in a positive state of mind, when we're feeling like praising him. Well, it's easy to be faithful then. We're singing praises. We're hallelujah, brother. Hope you know. Are you praising God? Are you thankful? When we have the bills paid, when the family's happy, when the good times are rolling, when we have plenty of work, when the vehicles are working. Well, then, yeah, we can be full of faith. Then we are praising him. We know that we're blessed. We're blessed of God. My cowboy friend and I are texting back and forth. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Yes, it is. He is. We have to be praising him all the time. And I like those times. I don't know about you, but I do. And when we read, we're not reading in Job right now, but when most of us have read Job, and in Job 1, it introduces us to this Job, whoever Job is. And it, the things that were going on in Job's life were great. I encourage you to read it. Job 1, starting in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. He was blameless, upright, fearing God, turning away from evil, had 7 sons, 3 daughters, had more sheep and donkeys and camels and just tons. He was he was abundantly blessed. Well, we know the story of Job. His circumstances changed. The things that made up his life changed. And God can certainly cause our circumstances to change. They can fall apart at times. God allowed Job's circumstances to fall apart, to just drop out. The bottom dropped out, you might say. And that reminds me of the story of Joseph, how that very thing happened to Joseph. Joseph was, he was living on top of the world. He was under good circumstances, and the family life of Joseph was good. He was the favorite son. He had the eye of his father, and it real quickly changed. His circumstances changed. He was thrown into a pit. His brothers wanted to kill him. It changed quite a bit. But even in this, we see now, because we can read the story. We read the story and we see how it's changed and how it's come through, and we are to learn from that. We see that God had set up, he had ordained, he had made these events to take place. And God was training and working and testing, and he was working a work through these tragic events of Joseph and also of Job. But since we're looking back on these stories now, we see that God was always with Job. He had never abandoned him. God was with Joseph. He meant it for good. It worked out. Joseph, with the story of Joseph, we see that God was with him. God was directing and moving and making things happen behind the scenes, behind where you couldn't see, but God was working things. Joseph just had to have faith. Remember, God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And when Joseph was going through everything he was going through, the slavery, the prison, he couldn't see those things. But just because he couldn't see them didn't mean they weren't happening. If you get all the way through the story of Joseph, if you get nothing else out of it, remember this from the story of Joseph. In Genesis 50:20, here's Joseph speaking to his brothers. They've come to know who he is now, and they've repented. He says, "And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." And I think Joseph finally saw that it had always been that way. And at that point in time, the joy that he felt, I think that overweighed all the hardships that he went through. I think it did. So how does that apply to us? When we are tested in our faithfulness, how do we respond? Because Job was sure tested in his faithfulness. Remember, his wife even said, "Just curse God and die." And Job said, "No, I'm not going to do that. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How do we react? Do we react that way? Do we continue on faithfully in our walk, taking the good with the bad, glorifying God in every circumstance, and every, no matter what happens, when the weather's good and when the weather's bad, when the truck's running and when the truck's not running, when there's health and the family's healthy and everybody's happy and smiling, as well as when there's sickness? We have to learn to worship God, to praise God, to trust him in every circumstance, in the bad times, in the difficult circumstances. And then he, as we read, he causes all things to work together for good. If we trust him. Hosea 14:9 kind of reiterates Isaiah 55 that we read about God's ways being better than ours. higher than ours, his thoughts better than our thoughts. Hosea 14:9 reminds us, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. And we don't want that knowledge to cause pride. We don't want that knowledge to puffeth up. But we can have, we are to be wise. We are to have that wisdom that comes from God. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The ways of the Lord are right. And the righteous will walk in them. The ways of the Lord are right. Remember in Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God reminds us of that. His nature, his plan is so much better than anything we can come up with. We just don't always see that when the times are not good. My family's been sick this past week. We've been fighting the crud for about a week now, just like many people across the country have when I've spoken with them. And that old crud, that cough and cold, and it just seems to be hanging on. And believe me, we are praying. We are commanding. We are praising. We're doing what we can do, what we're instructed to do, what we're led to do, taking our vitamins, taking our supplements. It's tough. And sometimes, I'm still learning. Lord, what is it? What is it? Do we need to change something in our diet? Do we need to change something in our lifestyle? What is it, Lord? Let me be teachable. And I say this to encourage you that, and we understand that the children get sick. And I'm just using that as an example, that we are to still be faithful to him even when these things happen. It may be a loss of job or sickness in the family or whatever. These trials and tribulations, these storms that certainly come upon us. When it hits the fan, so to speak, well, we are still to be faithful to him. His word is still true. His word is no less true then than ever. In Acts 14:8, Paul is there. He's speaking. Let me read it. Acts 14:8, 8, 9, and 10, I think. Here it is. And at Lystra there was sitting a certain man without strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, and when he'd fixed his gaze upon him, he had seen that he had faith to be made well. Paul saw. He looked at him, and he saw his faith. He saw that he had faith to be made well. And Paul said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. He had that faith to be made well. You could see it. I ask you, when people, if Paul were here today, or anybody, fixed their gaze upon you and looked at you, could they see your faith? Could they see your faith? I hope so. No matter what. No matter what. And people will look at you, if you call yourself a Christian, and your friends and family know you, that's when they will look at you. Oh, when the times are good, you may not hear it as much. But when it hits the fan, so to speak, see, that's when the character truly comes out. That's when the character's being developed. And that's when our light for Christ shines. It's when it should. Because that's when our friends and family are looking. Now, you might not see them looking, but they are. They are. We are to still be faithful to his promises, to his wonderful word, no matter what. We should just be able to say, no matter what, Lord, I will trust in you. I know, as Hosea 14:9 says, the ways of the Lord are right. And as Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes all things to work together for those that love him. And that's what we're to do. We're to believe that. We are to believe that. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. He was being asked by a father to, if he could, if you can, heal my boy. And Jesus said, if you can. All things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, I do believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. And Jesus helped it, not only his own belief, but he helped his boy. And he cast that deaf and dumb spirit out. He commanded it. All things are possible to him who believes. And the deaf and dumb spirit left. All things are possible to him who believes. In Luke 17:5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Help us believe. It's not unlike the father saying, I believe, help my unbelief. The apostles said in Luke 17:5, increase our faith. I don't know about you. Sometimes I have to say that to the Lord. Do you ever have to do that? Increase my faith, Lord. Help my unbelief. I believe. I believe. Help my unbelief. I have faith. Increase my faith. And we can say and pray that today as well. And when we realize we don't have all knowledge, when we realize we don't have it all figured out, we call out to him. We rely on him. It helps us reach that goal that we should have of being truly faithful on him, of being disciplined, yes, but of persevering through anything that comes before us. God calls each and every one of us to our unique service, to his service and his unique plan for us. And he puts great responsibilities on each and every one of us. And when he does so, he doesn't want to hear complaining or murmuring or griping from us when he puts that upon us. Do you ever ask your children, you have to ask them to take the garbage out? And I'm sure when you ask your children to do that, they just say, sure, Dad, it's my pleasure. Do you ever get that? It makes you think that you're at a Chick-fil-A and ordering something and they're telling you, my pleasure. You're asking a child to take the garbage out and you get a smile. I'm sorry, Dad, I forgot to do that. My pleasure. Let me get that. Here, let me check all the other garbage cans in the house while I'm at it. Well, I hope that you get that response. When God calls us to service, his service is not a heavy yoke. And as a reward of honoring him, as a reward of trusting in him, of realizing and proclaiming that his ways are right, his word is right, and he works all things for good that come into our lives, when we do that, well, he gives his reward. He is a rewarder of those that honor him and love him and trust him. And one of his rewards is peace. In Romans 5:1, we read, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Not when all your bills are paid, not when all the vehicles are running, not when there's great health and there's no problems. We have peace with God. And we are to have peace with God. Now the world, they don't get his peace. They don't want it, and they're not going to have it because they're not going to believe. They're not going to be justified. They do not have faith in him. But that's not who we're talking to today. Romans 5 verse 2 says, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. We exalt. That word means exalt. We don't really use that in our vocabulary today, but that from the Webster's 1828 dictionary, which we do carry. We have that Webster's 1828 dictionary. It's about 4 inches thick. It's a huge book. Look great on your mantelpiece or on your coffee table. And it's a great Christian dictionary to have. Many of the words are defined in there from scripture verses, using scriptures to define them. That Webster's 1828. I think it's $60, including shipping. If you'd like one, we have some in stock, and you can write to us and request it if you'd like that. Webster's 1828. But it defines the word exalt. We exalt in hope of the glory of God as to leap for joy, to rejoice exceedingly, to be glad above measure. To be glad about, I am so happy, happy, happy. That starts to get close to what that word exalt. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. That's what we are to do. Verse 3 of Romans 5 says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Whoa, wait a minute. We leap for joy in our tribulations. We rejoice exceedingly in our tribulations. We are glad above measure, O Lord, in our tribulations. We are happy, happy, happy in our tribulations. That's a little tougher. We read on. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, do you believe that? Do you believe this word of God in Romans, that we are to rejoice exceedingly in our tribulations because we know that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I hope you have that highlighted. Hope does not disappoint. But you don't go down to Walmart and buy hope. No, you get it from His Word. You get it from being obedient to His Word, from reading His Word, from rejoicing exceedingly, from being happy, happy, happy in our tribulations, knowing that God causes all things to work together for good, for the ways of the Lord are right. And as Paul wrote to us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Do you believe God's big enough to take care of your problems? Do you believe God's big enough to take care of your problem at work? Do you believe God's big enough to take care of your problem with your family? Do you believe God's big enough to take care of your health problems? Or your financial problems? He is. He's an ever-present help. Jesus said when He left, He said, I'll send the Comforter. He said, I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I will send the Comforter that will comfort, that will lead, guide, and direct you. And the Comforter is there, ready and willing to do that. Do you believe it? Do you know? Do you know? The ways of the Lord are right. Do you know that we are to rejoice? Do you rejoice exceedingly at your tribulations? We're told to do that. Knowing that that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. There's the hope that does not disappoint. Verse 6 of Romans 5, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you, and that's me. In verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. We are saved by Him, by His blood that He shed for us. We are to believe and to trust and to rely in Him in the good times and in the bad. I'm trying to. I can tell you that. I'm doing my best to fight that daily fight of faith, that good fight of faith that we are to fight. And I hope you are too. When I read that writing of Paul, and where'd the hour go? Time has flown by. We can open the phone lines up, folks, if you want to call in. 307-745-5913. If you want to call, I've still got a few pages I wanted to share. That Paul's writing in Philippians, I want to read a couple verses before that. Starting in verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." We should strive to attain that. He goes on in verse 12, "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." And so Paul tells us here, I know how to get along when I'm poor, when I don't have anything. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In each and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and of going hungry, of having abundance and of suffering need. And then, of course, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, in the good times and the bad. And that's what we are to remember. Well, I see the phone line. Let's see if we can get a caller in here. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, good evening, Bill.
No, this is Bob.
Oh, Bob. Sorry.
Do you remember a couple months back when I called in and we was discussing the witches from New England that were had been doing the spell casting against the quarterback?
I seem to recall something along those lines.
Well, anyway, just caught a story on Drudge Report, I think it was, that they're getting set to do it again. They're putting a call out for the witches across the country that tomorrow night at midnight they're going to start spellcasting against Trump to bind him from doing what he would like to do.
Well, let's come against those witches. How about that?
Well, that's what I call for.
That's exactly
what we should do.
If the enemy is involved, we can command. Christ tells
tomorrow
us to do that.
Tomorrow night at midnight, I don't know if
I'm hoping not to be up at midnight, but we can bind them here. We read in Luke, let me flip over there just to get it right. In Luke, behold, Jesus says, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. See, Satan has been destroyed. His reign is over. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Well, let's do that. Well, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ in obedience to your word, and we command in Jesus' name, witches, cease and desist. Witches, you are bound and gagged by the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus Christ, and your curses will not stand against God's people. They never have, and they never will. And so we bind and gag you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we command you to cease and desist. We command that any curses you try to come up with against God's people, they will be turned into blessings. They will be blessings for God's people. And we claim that and we command it in Jesus' name as those washed in the blood, born again, wearing the white robes dipped in the blood of Jesus, in the blood of the Lamb. We command it in Jesus' name that the curses you put out will come back upon your head. The pit you try to dig, you will fall in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our words have power. It's not that there's anything of us, but our words have power. He tells us that. Well, Bob, thanks for letting us know.
Right.
Have a great evening.
Bye.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And he gets the glory for it. Amen. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. I will help you. And so when the tribulations come, God is there. I will help you. You may be weak. Isaiah 40:31 says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Those who wait for the Lord. Not those who jump the gun and have that knowledge that makes arrogant that we read about in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Isaiah 40, verse 31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I like that idea. So there are times that we have to wait for the Lord. When we are rejoicing exceedingly in our tribulation, in our trials, because we know when we are waiting for the Lord, we are gaining new strength. We are getting ready to mount up with wings like eagles. We are preparing to run and not be tired, to walk and not become weary. When we are happy, happy, happy in our tribulations. This is being obedient to the Word. Knowing. Now, do you believe this or not? Do you believe this? I believe it. I know that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And I know that hope does not disappoint. I know it. As much as I know today's Thursday. I know it. I hope you know it too. That's part of our faith. Psalms 28. A few verses here, 6 through 9 maybe. And it's a prayer. Blessed be the Lord, because he heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart exults. There's that word again. My heart rejoices exceedingly. My heart leaps for joy. My heart is happy, happy, happy. And with my song I shall thank him. The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Be their shepherd also, and carry them forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is our strength. In our tribulations. In 2 Corinthians, a couple verses I wanted to read there, it seemed to apply about this, realizing that God is bigger than our problems, God is bigger than the storm. He will get us through anything. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Perplexed. Sometimes do you just scratch your head and say, huh? What? What? I can't believe this. This is just perplexed. Put in awe. Put in disbelief. But not despairing. Persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. And when you're struck down, remnant, you just brush the dirt off, you brush off the dust, you get back up, not destroyed. And verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen. Remember Joseph, he couldn't look at the things that were seen. If he did, he would have lost all hope. And Job, he's kept the faith. Couldn't see the things that God was working in the background. God works in the unseen. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I know it's tough out there, Remnant, but we are to persevere. We are to keep the faith. We are to have hope. We are to exalt. Don't know if I'm going to have time to get through all this. Hebrews 12, we lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's what we are to do. And when we're down, we get back up. Verse 6 of Hebrews 12 says, "For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives." It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with us as with sons. And verse 10 says, "But he," meaning God, "disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." Well, we're about out of time. So do you believe? And I'll leave you with a few questions here to ask yourself. Didn't God take his people through the Red Sea? Yes, he did. Didn't God take the three Hebrew youths through the fiery furnace? Yes, he did. Didn't God take Daniel through the lion's den? Yes, he did. Didn't God allow his prophets to go through the exiles and the captivities so they could warn his people, so they would know from their heart how to deal, how to speak to his people? Yes, he did. Didn't Jesus go through the wilderness tempted by Satan, but sinning not? And our Lord Jesus Christ went through the pain and agony of the beatings and the shame and the curses and the unimaginable agony of the crucifixion and the cross. He went through death itself and the grave. He went through it and overcame it for you and for me. With that and those examples, we have to believe. We know that we can go through anything that this world throws at us when we are in him and he is in us. Romans 8:8 again, we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We've said it before, we can't always control the all things. But we can make the choice to love him. We can make the choice to read his word, to open every day saying, "Lord, thy will be done. What do you have for me to do today? What do you want to show me in your word, Lord? What do you want to show me in your word that I need to share with somebody else?" Your ways are right, O Lord. And 1 John 4:4 is how we know God causes all things to work together, how we can go through anything this world can throw at us. John, 1 John 4:4 reminds us, "Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." We do have to remember that. We have to know that. And if Christ be for us, what can be against us? What can separate us from the love of Christ? Death? Sickness? Loss of a loved one? Lies? No. Greater is he who is in us than anything that can come against us. So rejoice exceedingly, Remnant. Our pastor taught us to rejoice always. And in this day and time, that is what we are to do. Going to close out with a praise song. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you for tuning in. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 866. LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We are to praise him in the storm. I hope you can do that. Join us Saturday morning for coffee. We'll talk to you then.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.